I told Armand early that next day that I was leaving. "It's still early for discharge," Armand protested. He wasn't dressed in surgical scrubs that day, instead in a button-down navy blue suit and yellow tie. The gel was back in the hair. "You are still on intravenous antibiotics, and..." he began. "I have to go," I said. "I appreciate everything you've done for me, all of you, really. But I have to leave." "Where will you go?" Armand said. "I'd rather not say." "But you can hardly walk." "I can walk to the end of the hall and back," I said. "I'll be fine." The plan was this: leave the hospital, get the money from the safe deposit box and pay my medical bills, drive to the orphanage and drop Sohrab off with John and Betty Caldwell, then get a ride to Islamabad and change travel plans, give myself a few more days to get better, and fly home. That was the plan, anyway, until Farid and Sohrab arrived that morning. "Your friends, this John and Betty Caldwell, they are not in Peshawar," Farid said. It had taken me 10 minutes just to slip into my Pirhan Tumbon. My chest, where they had cut me to insert the chest tube, hurt when I raised my arm, and my stomach throbbed every time I leaned over. I was drawing ragged breaths just from the effort of packing a few of my belongings into a brown paper bag. But I had managed to get ready and was sitting on the edge of the bed when Farid came in with the news. Sohrab sat on the bed next to me. "Where did they go?" I asked. Farid shook his head. "You don't understand." "Because Rahim Khan said," I began. "I went to the U.S. consulate," Farid said, picking up my bag. "There never was a John and Betty Caldwell in Peshawar. According to the people at the consulate, they never existed. Not here in Peshawar, anyhow." Next to me, Sohrab was flipping through the pages of the old National Geographic. We got the money from the bank. The manager, a paunchy man with sweat patches under his arms, kept flashing smiles and telling me that no one in the bank had touched the money. "Absolutely nobody," he said gravely, swinging his index finger the same way Armand had. Driving through Peshawar with so much money in a paper bag was a slightly frightening experience. Plus, I suspected every bearded man who stared at me to be a Talib killer sent by Asif. Two things compounded my fears. There are a lot of bearded men in Peshawar, and everybody stares. "What do we do with him?" Farid said, walking me slowly from the hospital accounting office back to the car. Sohrab was in the back seat of the Land Cruiser, looking at traffic through the roll-down window, chin resting on his palms. "He can't stay in Peshawar," I said, panting. "Nay, Amir Agha, he can't," Farid said. He had read the question in my words. "I'm sorry, I wish I..." "That's all right, Farid," I said. I managed a tired smile. "You have mouths to feed." A dog was standing next to the truck now, propped on his rear legs, paws on the truck's door, tail wagging. Sohrab was petting the dog. "I guess he goes to Islamabad for now," I said. I slept through almost the entire 4-hour ride to Islamabad. I dreamt a lot, and most of it I only remember as a hodgepodge of images, snippets of visual memory flashing in my head like cards in a Rolodex. Baba marinating lamb for my 13th birthday party. Soraya and I making love for the first time, the sun rising in the east, our ears still ringing from the wedding music, her henna-painted hands laced in mine. The time Baba had taken Hassan and me to a strawberry field in Jalalabad. The owner had told us we could eat as much as we wanted to, as long as we bought at least 4 kilos. And how we had both ended up with belly aches. How dark, almost black, Hassan's blood had looked on the snow, dropping from the seat of his pants. "Blood is a powerful thing, Bachim." Khala Jamila patting Soraya's knee and saying, "God knows best. Maybe it wasn't meant to be." Sleeping on the roof of my father's house, Baba saying that the only sin that mattered was theft. When you tell a lie, you steal a man's right to the truth. Rahim Khan on the phone telling me there was a way to be good again. A way to be good again.